Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well. For Mill Park Physiotherapy, call 9436 9666 or visit millparkphysio.com.au.
I just want to wish you well. I just want to wish you well.
We do, it's all we ever want to do with Paul Coburn on a Thursday afternoon. I've missed you, Cobes. How you doing?
Yeah, not great.
Well, you come in with your tail between your legs a bit today.
Yeah, I have actually.
Bit between your legs.
Yeah.
Which is not fantastic, because I look at you as the authority on just about everything when it comes to body and management and looking after yourself. And you've come in a bit sheepish this afternoon, fair to say?
I got a bit angry.
A bit sheepish?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, not good.
What's happened?
Well, I got
a bit
angry.
Get some feedback.
I got some feedback. Mm-hmm. I got a bit angry the other week.
Yeah, what happened?
I had a rant about the four truths about knee pain.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and it went down really well, didn't it?
Yeah. I got a call from the no less than the national president of the Australian Physiotherapy Association.
No less, if you don't mind.
No less. And he said, nah, it's not good enough, mate. It's just not good enough.
So what were those four, by the way, the four truths of knee pain, just before we get into our guest?
Well, the four truths were that surgery for knee arthritis, only in extreme cases.
Yes.
Second one was investigations aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Yes.
The third one
was imaging and stuff.
Yeah, like imaging.
Yep.
So just because you got something looks bad on X-ray doesn't mean you got any problems.
Yep.
The third one is you have to face up and you got to lose some weight.
Yep.
And the fourth one is you've got to do some exercises.
Right. So those are the four truths of knee pain.
Yeah, but he reckons I didn't look. Anyway, he's demanded to come in.
He has. He actually stormed in the building this afternoon. We couldn't get rid of him. And he's around to help us through the next little while. The National Australian Physiotherapy Association President, Marcus Dripps, who we've had on before, is back. And he's angry. G'day, Marcus.
I'm angry, half.
Were you listening or did you hear about it elsewhere, these four truths of pain?
Well, I actually had a steady stream of patients coming into the clinic down in Geelong, down into Cryo Bay Health Group, and they all expressed outrage. They said they were being treated with contempt. They said it's overly simplistic, it doesn't understand the nuances, and the attempt to provide a crystal clear message was misguided.
Misguided?
In essence, they thought that Paul was being disrespectful as to how smart SEN listeners are.
Don't patronise the listeners, Paul. I didn't pick up on that at the time. I apologise for that, Marcus. I would have had I known. But if you don't patronise the listeners, mate.
No, I thought I was just telling the truth, that's all.
So did you agree or disagree with the four truths? Apart from the disrespect, was there agreement?
The four truths are close to the mark. I think they're just missing a little bit of nuance. There's a little bit of nuance in here that we need to explore.
I love you getting
clipped. What is that nuance, Marcus? Tell us.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's one thing to say to somebody, you know, choose surgery, don't choose surgery, a moment in time decision. People can have an influence over that. But when you say, just lose some weight or just get strong, there's sometimes
simplistic.
Various different aspects we need to take into account in someone's personal circumstances to enable them to do that, to empower them to do that. And it's a little bit more, I think, than a health practitioner pointing the finger and saying, lose some weight.
But wasn't that just part of the overall discussion as to the things that might be affecting your pain as opposed to being the sole reason? And if that's you are heavy, then that's one of the reasons. There might be other things. Not that you are, Marcus, not looking at you. That's just one of the factors that could be at play in there that you want to cover off all bases. Is that not what we were saying or Copes was saying? Because I was on point there, you bugging it up. Is that not what we were saying?
I think what you were saying had strong grains of truth in it, but what I think it was missing was the, and how can you achieve that part?
Aha, and that was phase two.
That's what I'd like to explore. Yeah.
Come back, all right. So this is the how-to part of it.
It is the how-to. And look, and Marcus has got a lot of experience in this because not only does he, he's a CEO of his own clinic down in Geelong, where they're down at Sleepy Hollow, where they reckon they can do everything better than we can up here.
Well, they do. They live in their own little world down there.
Ever since they won those premierships, they've been living with the we do things better down there. But the other thing, Marcus has had his role as president of the APA and also on a number of government boards. He's been sort of exploring this about this issue of the fact that we know we're getting overweight, but we just continue to get more overweight. So, Marcus, what we're going to do is just quickly today talk a little bit about some of the things that might be going on at the higher levels, but then just try and talk about, let's go back to the fact that we're now assuming that all our listeners know the four truths. Maybe the ones about the surgery and the investigations throw a lot of people, and that's the one we often have discussions about. But everyone, we've been ranting on about this for years.
We have.
About lose weight, get stronger.
Yep.
But how are we going to do that? So, Marcus, in terms of is there a move in terms of government policy to try and get a change in behaviour, as opposed to just tell people what they've got to do, like I did the other week.
Yeah. Oh, look, increasingly, I think there's a more sophisticated understanding that, you know, having health practitioners stand on their holy mountain and preach doesn't necessarily achieve the outcome for patients. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is how can you get a better outcome for patients? And I think with a range of different chronic and complex diseases, we need a multifactorial approach to addressing that. And that's why, you know, at a government policy level, you know, the discussion shifts away from what health services can we provide towards things like, what's the role of food regulation? What effect does urban design have?
Yep.
And all of those kind of things. So there's many different things that affect the change in modern society. You know, having sedentary jobs, you know, there's a range of different things that create the dual issue of increased body mass and decrease physical activity. And I think the way to address that is going to be multifactorial as well. And that's, I guess, my key point in having a go at the simplistic approach, is it's not quite so simple as do some exercise.
But aren't there always going to be those outliers, those exceptional circumstances, situations that people are encountering? But the broad policy for most people, it would be relative, wouldn't it? Would be the one policy. And then you're going to have your extremes, which you deal with on specific circumstances. But if you're putting together a broad spectrum understanding or a policy of what should happen in those circumstances, those situations, sure, that reaches more than half the population.
Mm. That's true. But I think, you know, it's a complex interaction of what is policy and regulation, and what is personal choice and behaviour.
Yep.
To affect these things. So, you know, at the end of the day, what goes into your mouth is still your choice.
That's true.
And what you do in terms of physical activity is still your choice. But there are some policy levers that can affect those choices in terms of making it easier or harder for you to make good choices.
Is it something in your discussions at government level, something that they see as a significant priority? Like, is this right up the chain? Or is this somewhere in the middle of the road that we'll get to when we can?
No, there's an active discussion going on at the moment where the health minister has put together a committee of experts around how the health system addresses chronic and complex diseases. And that piece of work's going on currently, and I'm fortunate enough to be a part of that group.
Right. So we got to the how to you. How do we do it? How do we sort ourselves out? What are some of the measures we can put in place?
Well, Marcus, you actually run something out of your clinics at the moment down at Cryo Bay Health Group in Geelong. And I'm not sure, I suppose you could tell us a little bit about that, how you guide people with some of these issues like knee arthritis. And then we'll talk, after that, we'll talk a little bit about what those of us can do at home to actually achieve these things that we've been trying to do for a number of years.
Yeah, sure. So the type of programs that we run, so we've got a program that's got a catchy nickname, Strong Knees is its nickname, and it's a multidisciplinary approach. So it incorporates input from the doctors, input from dietitians, input from psychologists, and input from physios. And we're focusing on two main things, or I guess three main things. One is that we're firmly of the belief that knowledge is power. The more people know about stuff, the better they are positioned to make good choices.
Yeah.
The second thing is physical activity is something that's really important. So the strength element of the four truths needs to be embedded in there. And then the third one is looking at how do you change behaviours. Because at the end of the day, body mass and physical activity levels, so body weight and strength, come about over a long period of time because of habits that people take on in life. So we're trying to address each of those factors through that type of program.
Do we not... With all the policies and campaigns through the last decade, 20 years, norm on the couch, life be in it. Do we not know enough, or do we know heaps, we just don't choose to listen?
I think that's a really interesting one. I think what you normally find with public education campaigns like that is you have a short-term effect. So unless the campaign is maintained, it actually loses its resonance. So with things like... the three of us in this room are old enough to probably remember Merv Hughes doing his twisting on the boundary line and the campaign that was "Don't take back pain lying down," which was around, if you have back pain, you need to keep moving, was the key message. And that was...
Can we have that campaign again?
Just got to find the funding.
Oh, God, that was fantastic for us, because finally people started coming in not wanting their back put in. and wanted to do something about it. It was brilliant.
Mm. And it was interesting, you know, in addition to the four truths about knee pain, I forwarded some a message to Cobes the other day with the 13 truths about back pain.
That's a couple of shows, that one.
Obviously, someone thinks back pain is more complex than knee pain. But
I was going to talk to you about extending this show.
Yes. We're going to need a whole show, four hours for the 13.
Yeah.
Might need our own station. So, look, in essence, public education campaigns play a role. In the same way that, you know, people going to their health practitioner, going to their doctor, going to their physio, going to whichever practitioner they choose and getting good health advice also plays a role, as does government regulation. But in isolation, no one of those things changes the world.
All right, we're going to take a break now. But when we come back...
I like how you do this.
We are going to tell...
You just take over.
It's my one little slither of pretending I can run the show.
Well, after coming in here with your tail between your legs, it's nice to have you...
Up and about. I'm
really
back now.
Really assertive again.
I'm back. He believes my four truths. He just thinks we need to go further. And that's what we're going to do in a minute. We're going to go further. We're going to talk about the things you should be doing at home. You're the person who knows the truths, but you've struggled to implement them. So Marcus is going to sort that out for you.
We'll fix
afternoon.
It for you after the break on Fit and Well. Back shortly. 24 past one on Thursday afternoon. We're keeping you fit and well with Paul Coburn from Mill Park Physio, 94369666, and the president, if you don't mind, of the National Australian Physiotherapy Association, Marcus Drips from Corio Bay Health, down there in Sleepy Hollow. Go and see him. He knows what he's talking about. He's got no confidence in you whatsoever, Cobes, from what I'm getting today.
Come on. Now, if you want to hear the gold that is the four truths, you go to the SEN website.
Yeah.
And you look, what are we, sound? No, I've got a better idea. Go to sound.
SoundCloud.
Go to SoundCloud.
You'll find it on the halftime page on the SEN website.
Yeah, we'll get both of those. And you can hear the four truths.
Audio boom these days. We've
audio
boom.
Audio boom.
Audio
boom. That's
stepped
what I was
it up.
To say. Yeah,
we've
yeah.
Audio boom.
No, I did that the other day. Just go to audio. You can either go to SEN's homepage or you can go to audio boom directly. Put in halftime, Paul Coburn, and you'll find that.
You will.
Fit and well.
Now, Michael Nyalambi's on the line. I wanted to take Michael's call before we find out the how-tos and what you're going to do for our people out there today, you guys. Michael, good afternoon.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just recently, back in November, had a... meniscus surgery for a bucket horn tear, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
The question that I have is, when you, I understand your four truths, but when you actually do go to that next level and you have to get something repaired, is the, because I'm going to continue doing ultra running. Now, sorry, I should have mentioned that bit. I do ultra marathon.
Right.
Is a little bit of knee pain till I get beyond the sort of neurosensation that is down there that is always perceived. Is there always going to be a little bit of perceived knee pain? Is that the question?
Who's answering that one?
I mentioned. No,
you're both pointing at each other.
Now, Michael, can you just tell me your credit card details over the phone before I answer this question? Because this is professional advice.
Is there just residual pain?
No. So going back to the point. So, for first of all, Michael, doing running is you do have to try and work out whether or not there's been significant damage to the articular surfaces with running, because there is some evidence that once you've got it, increasing your running will give it to you, will increase that.
Right.
But when we talk to our patients, we say to them, look, if you're aware of that and this is something you want to do, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, there's a little bit of residual soreness. There could be a little bit of residual soreness, but you wouldn't want it to be too much because that would indicate it's getting worse. The other thing we tell our patients is to watch the amount of swelling, because the swelling's like the canary in the coal mine. And if you are getting increased swelling, then that's an indication you should back off. But what I would do is go and see a good physio to get some, seriously, to get it looked at. Because just to work out all those nuances, because I can't see him over there.
Your Lambie's not too far from Mill Park. It's just down the road.
It's not bad.
Just on the ring road there.
It's nowhere near Geelong, unfortunately. But I've come in here today to have a crack at Cobes for being too simplistic. And I think in this case, he's brought out some more grains of truth, but might be being a little bit, going into a bit too much detail.
Oh, she cannot find any common ground.
More pain doesn't mean more harm. I think, is the critical and simple message. So whilst Cobes is appropriately exploring the nuances of is there swelling and how much pain and all those kind of things, I think the key message, Michael, is that if you've got some pain, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing yourself harm, but you need to put it in the context of yourself and your life. And that's, I guess, the key reason why I wanted to come in today.
What are you doing Thursdays at 1 o'clock most weeks, Marcus?
Do you really want to debate this one, Marcus? Do you really want to take this one on?
No, we're not taking this one. Thank you for your call, Michael. Good luck. Go see Cobes at Mill Park Physio. Let's talk about some of the solutions we've got for our chronic and complex
situations. So, Marcus, let's say I come to you and I say, look, I need to lose weight. What are the barriers and problems that I'm going to have with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of the critical questions because, you know, at the end of the day, one approach does not fit all. And this is where we need to go back against my previous tirade and start to explore the nuances. Because there's a lot of different things that contribute to body weight. There's metabolic factors, genetic factors, environmental factors. But there is also the personal choices. And I think, you know, in healthcare in general, we tend to sort of focus on generalist advice, and trying to tailor it to someone's individual needs is actually a very complex exercise when it comes down to that interface of your metabolic factors, your genetic factors, and your choices. Because at the end of the day, you can affect choices, you can affect behaviours, but you can't change your genetic makeup.
Well, that's right. Please shoot me down if this is wrong and correct. Isn't it the job to just worry about the factors you can control?
That's the key message. And, you know, that's why, you know, the weight loss industry is an enormous industry in Australia, because there are so many different approaches and each of them has aspects of merit. So for some people, going down the diet alone pathway is an effective way of controlling body weight. For others, you know, it's a problem with their level of physical activity and they need to find some ways to increase their incidental day-to-day activities.
Yep.
For others, it's the absence of intense exercise and you need to introduce some intense exercise. But we're increasingly getting to understand that not everybody responds in the same way to changes in diet and changes in exercise. So we need to find more and more sophisticated ways to tailor an approach to an individual's circumstances.
What about getting someone who can, I mean, I don't know, I sometimes wonder, particularly with our listeners, if we say to them, look, you should, you know, do this and do that and the rest to increase your exercise or to lose weight. But in fact, for a lot of them, what they actually need is like a coach or someone external to guide them a bit. Because when you think you have all these great aspirations and then within 3 or 4 weeks, someone in the family's died, you've had a massive issue at work, there's been something else that's come up and suddenly it's all thrown out. Then you think, oh, this is too hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think the one of the key messages to come out of that observation is, you know, behavior change is something that needs to be constantly tweaked and reviewed. It's not we change it once and the problem solved.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that we make a decision to do an exercise program and that's it. Because there are always times when you fall off the wagon, so to speak, from an exercise point of view or from a diet point of view or with any other type of behavior that you're trying to change. And certainly there's been an increased use of health coaches and various other things in many different settings in managing chronic and complex diseases. And I think that they that sort of regular touching base and having someone who's in a supportive way holding you to account.
We're seeing that a bit with all these 12-week, 6-month programs that are on online. Michelle Bridges has got one. Danny Green's doing one for men. We're seeing these programs that are trying to create habits. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to create habits.
There's pros and cons to a number of these approaches. So a 12-week program is a nice way to kickstart some change,
yeah.
But it's not necessarily sustainable change. And so you'll have other types of fitness professionals, physios, medicos, various different health practitioners who will be able to support you in making it a sustainable change. Because there's actually no point in saying, you know, I want to lose one dress size because I've got a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
But then you fall off the wagon and all of the bad habits come back to roost.
You know,
I look great for the wedding, so that's important.
Yeah, it's always, yeah. Hey, but I reckon one thing that you can see people have really been drawn towards is the personal trainer. And I actually get it. These are people who are going to stand there with you, demand when you turn up that you've actually lost weight. You're accountable to somebody. I reckon they've been quite an interesting introduction into the health system.
Absolutely. And I think one of the next things that will come up in that space is a lot of the wearable technologies that are coming up, your Fitbits.
Can I say technology?
Yeah, Fitbits and all those kind of things. Give you an opportunity to track over time. Because one of the key messages in managing knee arthritis as an example of a condition is that it's not something that you do in a 4-week chunk. It's there. It's there for life. Yep. You need to manage it. So we normally think of managing a health condition as being something that happens for 2 weeks, a month, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, depending on the nature of the injury. But these are conditions that you have to manage for life.
Okay, right. Now, just to finish off, right?
Yes.
The four truths are as strong as ever.
Strong as oak.
Strong as ever. But you might need to get some help to actually implement them.
It's not a bad message for us to leave. Now, you two can punch on outside. It's been great to have you with us, Marcus. Thank you for popping in saying good day, mate.
You're very welcome, Daniel.
Good to see you again all the way down there from Sleepy Hollow. Cryo Bay Health, pop in and say good day to Marcus if you're in the area, you've got some issues. If you're in Mill Park or your Lambie, Michael, pop in and see Cobes at Mill Park Physio, 94369666.
We'll
thank you, boys.
See you next week.